trust. Cash, gold, crypto, such as Bitcoin, guns, land, a home, a library, a car, motorcycle, golf cart, or something else. What can one trust? Bicknell Young was one of the more successful Christian Science practitioners back in the beginning of when Christian Science was discovered and spreading throughout the world. He was called by some to be the dean of Christian Science practitioners. He had a number of patients who had come to him to heal their business. He stated in a class that he taught, which was giving instructions to other Christian scientists who were to become Christian Science teachers, that the biggest problem he found with these people was that they did not know their business in a human way. Mary Baker Eddy stated that the humanity of Jesus enabled his divinity. The magnitude of his humanity. In other words, he exercised the human qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love to the maximum. And that enabled his divinity. Since Mary Baker Eddy made that statement about Jesus, it's easy to realize that it applies to each and every one of us, to all humanity. Alan Young, who was a popular TV star in a show with a horse called Mr. Ed, was a serious Christian Science student. He was a lecturer on Christian Science, and the title of one of his writings was, Can You Simply Trust? By the way, this is an extemporaneous recording discussing whatever thoughts come to the surface in the process of considering the topic at hand. And if there's a reference utilized, that either would be available from the website, which is under the name of mbeinstitute.org, representing Mary Baker Eddy for the MBE, or available by contacting us. the article that is referred to, Can You Simply Trust, is available on the website. In two recordings, totaling about 50 minutes. When it was stated that this recording is extemporaneous, one caveat is that if a thought occurs and it appears that it would be good to have some factual information on it, then the recording is stopped to find any reference that might be appropriate so that more factual information can be stated related to that particular part of the recording. Referring to the topic of what can we trust, and then some various thoughts were suggested, such as cash and gold, guns, maybe the stock market, cryptocurrency, a library, and so forth. There was a man that had three sons. He matured in years to the point where the thrust of the story is that it was time to distribute his assets among his three sons. And he had determined that he basically had three things of about equal value in terms of currency. So from a standpoint of what anyone chose, if they had a choice, the value would be about the same in terms of the currency, but the value that one might receive from it could be substantially different based on the individual's interpretation to them of what that could be worth. The three items that he felt he could give away that were of equal value and would basically be distributing his total estate were a very elaborate home, a very extensive library of rare books that he had collected over his lifetime, and a piece of land that had no structures on it, but it was a good piece of land. He wanted to be fair to his sons, and he wanted them to be happy. So, from a standpoint of the value in terms of if they were to sell these things, would come out about the same for each one of the three, but their preferences might be totally different. So to make them happy, he wanted to give them an opportunity to choose what they wanted, and hoping that they would choose different things to make it easy. But he really didn't know what their preferences were because this had never been discussed previously with them. And he assumed that if two of them chose the same thing, or maybe all three of them, then he would have to sell the other items that nobody wanted and then divide up the money. Or he might have to sell everything and divide up the money and let them just go and buy what they wanted. He had a meeting with everyone, and he asked them to each write down on a piece of paper, put their name on it, of what their choice would be and why. So they folded the piece of paper so no one could see, gave them to their father, and then he decided to open them up and read so that all three of the sons would know what was thought of by the other ones. So he opened the first one and read it aloud. And that son said that he would prefer the home. And his reason was that it would give him a place to live, and it was a very fine home, and he'd be very proud of it. Could invite friends over, and he'd have a very pleasant time entertaining, and a very wonderful, complete living facility for him and his family. He then opened up the piece of paper for the second son, and he said he'd like to have the land. Now, that was a relief to the other two, because at least they knew there wouldn't be a conflict over the house with the first one, but nobody knew what the third one would choose. Maybe he would choose the land also, and then there'd be a conflict. And he said, the one that chose the land, said that the reason he wanted the land was he thought the house could be damaged by a storm. Or an army, if there was a war, could come along and confiscate the house. But he didn't think that they would care anything about the land, because they couldn't live on it. They'd need a facility, a building. So then he decided to open up the third one, and no one knew what the third son would want other than the third son. And believe it or not, the son wanted the library. So there was no conflict at all. Each son wanting something different. And he said his reason for wanting the library was not for the books, because they could be destroyed in a fire, damaged by water or whatever, but what he could learn from the books. The father was very impressed. They all had a logical reason for what they wanted, but they were very different. And he had the most respect for his son, because he was looking at something other than a tangible value. He was looking for something that would be good forever. In thinking about this story, and what Alan Young stated in his title, Can You Simply Trust? And also what Bicknell Young said about you must know your business, and what Jesus was commented about by Mary Baker Eddy, in that the magnitude of the humanity of Jesus is what enabled his divinity. Now let's think about each of these other things that was mentioned. Now let's suppose that if you had your choice between each one of these things that was mentioned, that you were at a young age, and suppose that you inherited it, so it wasn't a matter of a choice, it was a matter that this is what you had, and it was given to you. What good would the cash do? Well, to give you an idea, and I did stop to look up the value of some of these things, the cash 80 years ago of $500 would buy a brand new car. I found an ad that had a picture with the price, $495. Now, suppose that you were very young and still living. $500 wouldn't buy much of a new car. In fact, it probably wouldn't even buy a golf cart or a motorcycle. It'd buy a bicycle, but that's far different than a car. So, cash does not hold its value. So, if one wants something that would have a permanent value or something more permanent, cash would not be the selection. How about gold? There's a lot of advertisement today about gold. They say the stock market's going to crash. The economy's going to crash. Governments around the world are crashing. And we already mentioned about what a dollar will do. Or a currency. And that's a long-term history of what was considered one of the most valid and strongest currencies of the world, the U.S. dollar. Some currencies experienced hyperinflation, where they would have to take a wheelbarrow full of currency in order to buy a loaf of bread. That is true of a number of countries, some of them just in the last few years, or let's say the last decade or two. Germany was one that experienced that back about the time of World War II. Zimbabwe, which used to be called Rhodesia, experienced that in the last few decades. And again, we are seeing some high rates of inflation in a number of countries. Not to mention the inflation of gasoline in this country, going from like $1.50 a gallon up to $7 or $8 in places like California. Enormous inflation, 300-400% in a year or two. So we know that cash is not the answer. And what about gold? It's advertised, you know, because of all these things that are uncertain, buy gold. Now remember what Bicknell Young stated about knowing your business and what Alan Young said about, can you simply trust? Well, if you put those two together, you better realize that what you trust better be something that you know. And we're not talking blind trust, which is what promoters that get compensation for saying what they say want you to do. There are many people that are recommending gold right now that haven't the foggiest idea what they're talking about trusting it. And I just proved that by, when that thought came to me to include gold, to stop and do some research and get some numbers And for example, gold had a very major run-up in price. They call that a rally. And the top of that price was in 1980, the one I'm referring to, and it was $850 an ounce. And that started from a low of like $30 some 50 years before. Now, granted, that was a controlled price of 30, but even from a market price, it was extremely low, such that the run up to $850 was an enormous percentage of increase. Hundreds of percent. Now, suppose you bought it at $850. How would you have done? Well, not very well, because it went down for 20 years and finally reached a bottom in 2000 of about $250. And it wasn't until 2007 that it got back up to $850. And that's not adjusted for inflation. If it was adjusted for inflation, which I didn't bother to check, it would not even have been back to the $850 value. So 27 years, and you're only back to where it was. And if you'd have sold any time before the 27 years, you would have taken a loss. And if you sold in 2000, it'd have been a 70% loss. Holding it for 20 years and a 70% loss. Well, it went on up and made a new high in 2011. Had another very large drop until it finally got to a new high in 2020. 9 years later. And they promote it as holding your value. But it's down from the high again. So it is not something that is going to preserve the value. There's talk about maybe under new government that the currency would be gold-backed. You know, backed by gold. But we've already discussed how the fluctuation of gold has been. So if it's backed by gold, you're going to have the same fluctuation with the dollar. You're going to have enormous ups and downs. What it boils down to in the value of cash, as well as everything else, it is what the buyer and seller are willing to pay. They determine the price. And they represent everything they each one know or think they know about the value of what they're trading. I researched the various things that were mentioned. And the story is the same. Cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, it's down 70% from the high. And the trend indicates it may go down another 50% from where we are. So if you bought even right now after a 70% decline, there's a possibility you could lose 50% more in the next 12 months. That's a projection by one of the companies that provides these charts. It's very important that one listens to facts and not someone talking. Does the one promoting it have something to gain? Everyone that I've seen promoting gold, they're getting a financial reward for promoting it. And they have nothing to do with the business. They're being sponsored by the people that are selling the product. Now, how about the library that the one son chose? Suppose that library were a library like we offer on the website. That's a library of spiritual value, because you learn about God. You learn about man. You learn about the relationship between God and man. So when Alan Young asks the question, can you simply trust? And Bicknell Young says, you better know your business. We need to know our business about what we're going to trust. If somebody comes to your door with a gun drawn, like some of these outrageous government agencies do, even the agency that collects taxes, have now planned to recruit 87,000 men to use guns and help them collect taxes. The Constitution says no taxation without representation. I don't remember voting for a tax increase. I don't remember voting for there to be an income tax. And it's not that I have an absence of memory. It's that there is a tremendous amount of illegitimacy all around. So no, forget about trusting a gun. Somebody comes to the door with a gun, and you have a gun. What are you going to do? Just shoot each other? We have to elevate our whole frame of thought. Einstein stated that if you want to solve a problem, you have to elevate above the level where the problem was discovered as being created. He was asked one time, if he was given a life or death choice and had 1 hour, what would he do with the time? He said he would spend 55 minutes figuring out the right questions, and then he would spend 5 minutes in solving the problem. When he stated that you can't solve a problem unless you elevate above the level where the problem was first noticed, the answer is very easy. We elevate above matter and mortal mind to spirit. Mary Baker Eddy defines God as incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And as already stated, Mary Baker Eddy indicated that the humanity, the magnitude of the humanity of Jesus, enabled his divinity. Everyone can begin with expressing the maximum that they can understand about what a good human being should be like. Are we kind? considerate, generous, thoughtful, tolerant? Are we intelligent, wise, knowing? Do we know our business? Whatever the topic is, do we know about it? If we're a homemaker and we're cooking, do we know how to cook? Have we studied it? If we want to give variety to the family, have we studied how to do it in a human way? Today, we have the great benefit of the internet, and even though it has been messed around with a whole lot, unfortunately, there's still a tremendous amount of information on the internet for free. So, whether we want to learn a different language, whether we want to get a better understanding of our native language, whatever that may be, or learn about almost any topic one can think of, there is a tremendous amount of free information available on the internet. And people these days use their phone for their communication device. Although everyone may not prefer the small, tiny screens and tiny buttons and everything else on there to deal with, it's available for a very low cost. Don't even have to buy a computer. Or what should be said is that if one wants to be mobile, one doesn't need to be carrying a computer around with them, because if you want a phone with all the bells and whistles, they can be quite spendy. But the main thing is there is a tremendous amount of information that is available, so one can cultivate the knowledge that is needed in order to be able to know their business. All the resources on the website are free. If one is spiritually inspired to support the website, there's a link in the main menu for donations. For your information, the staff are completely volunteer. The only people that are paid are outside contractors, such as our full-time programmer. And from time to time, we have a second person that is an outside contractor to support work with document parsing. In fact, there have been hundreds of hours, if not thousands, devoted to breaking up individual publications by authors into chapters, sections within a chapter, subtitles within a chapter. And all of this is very detailed work requiring a substantial investment of time. One author, Frederick L. Rawson, gave a beautiful gift to the world wherein he covers the treatments in some 200 pages in a section of one of his books on true prayer and healing. And we broke those into 1,315 different parts, covering every ailment you can imagine. Or let's say that mortal mind suggests is real. And these treatments are very specific in that they cover the counterfacts as explained by Mary Baker Eddy, which is needed in order to have a thorough healing. This one book, which is one of many of his publications, uses the ideas from Mary Baker Eddy that she discusses throughout the textbook, and particularly in Animal Magnetism Unmasked, and through his metaphysical treatments for specifically the purpose of discovering the cause and the factual opposite, which Mary Baker Eddy terms the counterfact. He gives us treatments for every single one. The 1,315 parts really ends up being an encyclopedia, very comprehensive encyclopedia of treatments. And as explained in the 22-minute audio in our page on treatments by MBE Institute, we explain that one does not just repeat words, but needs to internalize it and individualize it for one's need. The Institute has also completely parsed the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, where we have every single subtitle as a separate topic. In other words, every chapter of Science and Health, all 18 chapters, has been broken down into the subtitles. This includes even the glossary and chapter 18 on healing, the testimonials. It is expected that there will be very substantial benefits received from all of this work that has been done, such that individuals know exactly where to go to study about how to solve the particular problem that they may be facing, or someone that they know may be challenged with. Returning to the topic at hand, so are we going to be like Alan Young recommends and learn to trust God? And of course, we can only do that when we experience benefits, when we experience results. Mary Baker Eddy says that one will gain the spiritual life by suffering or by science. And she also stated that she doesn't know anyone that ever did it by science alone. Jesus himself went through tremendous suffering, and at the end, who was loyal to him? John was the only disciple. At the cross, his mother was there, Mary Magdalene, and I believe it was two or three other people. And he taught tens of thousands of people. And he had 12 disciples. And Judas is thought to be the one that was the betrayer, but he had 11 that betrayed him. Salvation is an individual experience, and it's an eternal striving. So can we trust is based on, have we been successful in trusting? And what is this pain that Mary Baker Eddy refers to? The suffering. It is the battle between the human will and giving it up, so that we can let God's will gain space into our individual thought. We cannot have the consciousness of the Christ without making a continuous effort, like Mary Baker Eddy says, and the Bible, pray without ceasing. That means that every moment we should be conscious of what we're doing and aligning it with godlike qualities. Doesn't matter if we're walking from one room to another, or we are a sports person and we're out there in a race, or in competition in gymnastics, or we're in our business, operating our business. We could be in any profession, any avocation. Every moment that we devote to making an effort to align what we're doing, what we're thinking, and what we're saying with the Christ consciousness is a very, very good investment. That's what we really can depend on. That is what we can trust. The moment. If we're utilizing the moment in a productive manner, that's what we can trust. Because it'll be like the salesman. He may make a contact to someone and doesn't make a sale, but he learns something about the individual. And if he doesn't have the product now, maybe he will have a product later that will meet the need and desires of the individual. So it's like he keeps putting all these facts into a, imagine a big pipe. And if he keeps putting all these things in there and all the effort, assuming he has a wholesome product and a fair price and is consistent and systematic in his methods, sooner or later there will be sales that come out the other end. In other words, success. Because success comes after there is devoted effort to do the right thing for everyone involved. The golden rule. If we keep putting the golden rule in that pipeline, sooner or later, the benefits will come out. Not the benefits that come because we had a desire to benefit ourselves, but the benefits come because we were putting in the golden rule. We were treating others like we want to be treated ourselves. And that is what brings real success. That is putting ourselves into a new dimension when we're solving a problem, like Einstein suggested. And the problem is the problem of life. The problem is the lie upon lie that has been promulgated by all humanity. Every morning when we get up, we automatically assume the universal belief that we were born and we are mortal. In reality, as Genesis 1 states, there was no beginning. Or let's put it this way, that's how Mary Baker Eddy interprets the words "in the beginning" as being in the only. So there is no spiritual birth. Everything always has been spiritual. And in reality, there is no material birth. for that is a facade, an illusion, a dream that is based upon lie upon lie, believing that electricity generates matter. And that matter is born and grows and matures, peaks out, deteriorates, and expires. But that's a view. That's not the reality. When Jesus dictated the book of Revelation to John on the island of Patmos, and if you want more information on that, read from our website the 10 Bible lessons by Robert Putnam. And by the way, he is the only one that we are aware of that has discussed the Council of Nicaea, which was about 325 AD on the Christian calendar. And that sheds an extremely interesting light on why there was a lie upon lie promulgated in the last 2,000 years. And it all boils down to politics. What is politically correct? In other words, where is the lie? What is the foundation of the lie? That's political correctness. Political correctness is factual lie, illusion. If you read his works, you likely will be very enlightened. Another thought on Einstein, and we quote on what he actually said, referring to Mary Baker Eddy, he said, "Blessed art thou." And he also stated, "Imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago." Keeping in mind that at that time a woman could not vote or own property. And when the Bible recounts the number of people that attended two of Jesus' sermons when he was in the woods, one was 4,000 and the other was 5,000. And then it says, plus women and children. So they didn't count women. They counted men. So a woman has been considered a second-class citizen throughout humanity. And only in the last 100 years or so have they been able to vote. And I didn't check to see when they could actually begin to own property. But imagine that Mary Baker Eddy had to overcome all of these things in addition to fighting the world about the fact that there is no matter. This was long before quantum physics was discovered, which was the phenomenal branch of physics which brought forth the idea that what we see as a physical object, opaque, something that we can touch and feel, is not really matter at all, but energy that is moving at a high rate, whether it's oscillating, vibrating, and it appears to be opaque. Kind of like a similar thought to moving your hand real fast, and someone observing you may not see the movement between where it began and where it ended up in position. Thus, they say the hand is faster than the eye. Well, quantum physics says that the movement is so fast that it appears to be opaque. Anyway, all of this is a dance of mortal mind because it's not founded on what we see as being spirit, but it's founded on the belief that it is real substance, that matter is real substance. But in fact, it is just like a sandcastle that one might build on the beach. A rain or a wave could come along and flatten it out, and you start all over, because it was not built on a solid foundation. It was theory, built on a belief. Or like Kurt Russell says, the difference between life and a movie is that a movie is fantasy, fantasy land. One other thought, Mary Baker Eddy stated the difference between spirit, or what divine mind gives us as an idea, is something that is known. In other words, it's a fact. We don't need to think about it. It is a fact. It is known. In the study of the system, which Mary Baker Eddy refers to, where she says that divine metaphysics has now been reduced to a system, that's from Science and Health 146, line 31. And in the system, she refers to the operating function of the word, which is the first side of the four-sided city of God, as referred to in the book of Revelation of the Bible. The function of that is to provide the facts about God, which of course includes man, because man is the manifestation of God. So the source includes the manifestation, or it would not be a source. And the manifestation must include the source, or it could not be a manifestation. And as explained in the system, we have to be prepared to be able to hear or see or feel or taste or smell the word of God. In other words, the facts. We have to be at the point where we're saying, okay, I've tried my whole life the dance of mortal mind, believing in life, truth, and intelligence in matter, and mortal mind being the mind, and now I'm ready to elevate to another dimension. When we come to that point, then we can really appreciate what the word is, which means the facts about God and man and the relationship thereto. Just as a quick note, just as the elements of music include the notes of A to G, or the sounds, and the elements of mathematics includes the digits of 0 to 9, and there are various operators in music, just like there are in mathematics, mathematics being add, subtract, multiply, and divide. The system of divine metaphysics, which is based on spirit, are not only superior to the elements and the laws of mathematics and music, but they include no limits. And the elements are the seven synonymous terms for God, which is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And the operators are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And they function as operators do, similar to add, subtract, multiplying, and dividing do for the digits of mathematics, and the operators for music for the notes of A to G. But both music and mathematics have limits. Mathematics does not have any way to define the smallest element or the largest element, because any element can be divided to be smaller, and any element can be increased to be larger. Such as increasing it by adding or multiplying, and smaller by dividing or subtracting, but it cannot define the smallest or the largest. But spirit can, and spirit defines the smallest measurement of time by the word moment, and the largest by the word infinite. And that's not just time, it's anything, because in reality there is no time, because time itself is a limited measurement. So there is no minimum and there's no maximum in spirit, for it is the center and circumference, the circumference being without limit, and the center being like one would think of as the moment, the smallest. In other words, there is nothing that can get more to the core than spirit, and nothing that can expand more than infinite. No wonder Einstein was so enamored with Mary Baker Eddy and what she founded and discovered and was a leader for. He's the one that made the statement, he wonders what it would be like if he could travel through space on a beam of light, light being considered the fastest speed. Space is considered as being in light years. He saw that Mary Baker Eddy understood the concept of infinite, so much as could be understood at that point in time. And that's the reason why she did not want to copyright, and did not copyright, the final edition of Science and Health. And also in her most advanced work, which is Christ and Christmas, she has illustrations, and the final illustration is blank. And that is for the purpose of leaving it open to the infinite discovery. There is no limit. And that's also why she said there should never be any committee that authorizes literature, such as the bureaucracy would like to do and has spent their life trying to do. In fact, she indicated that it would be another 50 years from her final year in 1910 before people would begin to understand, approach the beginning of what she referred to as the system. So she encouraged there to be further exploration done on a topic that is without limits. Can we trust? Will we let God guide us, the one and only incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Will we explore it as if our life depended on it? And in fact, it does. For our thoughts yield our experience. Amen.